Support for the Closing Market Report podcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments at adm.com/farmerview.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 5th day of July, 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzlow. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, the suspension of U.S. wheat trade with South Korea has been lifted. China says it's about to undertake sweeping reforms of the country's banking system. And the city of Des Moines, Iowa, may sue state and federal officials if they don't move to limit farm-level nitrate runoff. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. And don't forget, as we close out our half hour together, we'll take a look at the weather forecast. Today we'll be joined by Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey Prairie Research Institute, right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
Let's check the numbers in Chicago as they settled up for Friday afternoon in the month of July. Harvest contract for the wheat at $6.56. That's July, down a penny and three quarters. December futures there at $6.70 and a half, down 7 cents. The hard red in Kansas City at $6.76 and a half on the hard red July, down 7. July corn futures for the day, $6.84 and three quarters, 6 and a half cents higher. It was the only gainer. December, or rather September, at $5.25 and three quarters, down 6 and a half cents. December corn at $4.91 and a quarter, 11 and a half lower. And the March futures at $5.03 and a half, down 11 and a quarter. Next year's July at $5.18 and a half, down 11 cents. July soybeans up 4 and a half at $15.88, but like the corn pit, the rest of the months were lower. August futures at $14.32, down 9 and a quarter. September at $12.76 and a quarter, 21 and a quarter lower. November beans at $12.28 and a quarter, down 22 and a half for the harvest month. January futures $12.33 and three quarters in the bean pit, 22 and three quarters lower. And the May contract down 22 and a half at $12.36. Bean meal futures finished at $4.89.10. That's $1.50 lower. And the bean oil on the day up a penny at $47.23. Live cattle futures in the August contract at $121.95 unchanged. October at $126.25, up 2.5 cents. August feeders at $151.80, 85 cents higher. September at $154.17 and a half. 87 and a half cents higher, and lean hogs finished the July contract at $102.35 per 100 pounds. That's 72 and a half cents higher. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures on the day. August contract at $103.06, up $1.81. The RBOB or wholesale price of gasoline at $2.88 and 4 tenths in the spot month, up 4 and 6 tenths. And ethanol futures at $2.38 and 2 tenths. That's up 2 and 2 tenths on the day. The difference between the two has widened again today, 50 and 2 tenths of a cent now. Natural gas at $3.61 and 9 tenths, down 7 and a tenth of a cent. And diesel fuel at $2.98 and 6 tenths. That's 3.5 cents higher at the New York Harbor for ultra-low sulfur diesel. Gold futures on the day at $1,212.70, down $39.20, and the U.S. dollar trading 84.43. That's up 1.21 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. We should see a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the area. Otherwise, partly sunny with a high near 82 degrees on the afternoon. This evening, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms continues. That through 1 a.m. tonight, Central Time, areas of fog after 1. Otherwise, partly cloudy at a low of 66. A southwest wind tonight at 6 miles an hour. And then tomorrow, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny, and a high of 84 degrees. South winds at 5 to 9. Saturday night, mostly cloudy and 66 degrees. The south winds will continue. Sunday, sunny skies and 84, with that south wind at 5 to 8 miles an hour. Sunday night, partly cloudy and a low of 70 degrees. On Monday, to start the work week, a 40% chance of showers, a few thunderstorms, partly sunny and 87. Monday night, showers and thunderstorms in 71. Tuesday, skies cloudy and 85. Wednesday, cloudy and 85. And Thursday, finally, mostly sunny and 83. A more complete look at the weather forecast comes up at the bottom of the half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business. So Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.
It is the fifth day of July. This is the closing market report. Let's check the markets with Mike Zuzulo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd. Happy 4th of July and a blessed Independence Day weekend to everybody out there.
Did you have a good 4th?
We did. We had a really nice 4th. We worked on the new office out here in Kansas, and then we went up to some new friends we've made, and had some grass-fed beef on a charcoal grill, and it was fantastic.
Oh, you should have said it was corn-fed, nonetheless.
Sorry, I can't with my cholesterol, Todd.
I hear that. Hey, I did see a little bit of that new office space because I follow you in other places. Your little video online that you produce for the clientele looks really nice and kind of looks like a sweet office space you have there at the house.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say that because I'm temporarily held up in the family room, and we're redoing the basement. So I'm going to go from a very brightly lit room to one with one window and a bunch of bars around it, so I'm trapped in there to do analysis all day and all week long.
Well, with the bars, you can drink. Oh, wait.
That's right. Maybe we'll get a ping pong table,
okay,
too.
Okay, different kind of bars. I had an awfully good day yesterday, too. My wife is from the Peoria area, and she went up there Wednesday, but I went up to her mother's house yesterday, rode the motorcycle northwest towards Peoria. And I got to Bloomington. I turned there at Downs and went straight west through Shirley and then on over to Green Valley, kind of across. Oh, I knew I thought I'd come across to Olympia High School. If you've been in the area, it's out in the middle of nowhere. And I did. And you know the crops. There's a corn crop in Illinois. It really looked good. But the beans, they need a couple of weeks. They've only been in the ground for a couple of weeks. So kind of have to wait and see on them.
Yeah, and you know, here it's been really interesting because I took a crop tour yesterday with the family as well in the afternoon, and we went from Atchison north and west to Hiawatha, Kansas, and then we got to just south of Falls City, Nebraska, so we could get into Nebraska and see the corn crop. There was the best corn, probably equates to what a lot of the Ohio and eastern Indiana people are looking at, a lot of corn shooting tassels on the Kansas-Nebraska border. But that, it was almost like it peaked there, and then as I came back down to Atchison, it went downhill very fast. And this past week, I can tell you, with a bunch of missed rains and temperatures warming up into the low 90s today and going to be breaking into the upper 90s by the end of this weekend, the crops have gone backwards a lot, and there's a lot of variability. There's corn that is not more than calf high, and like I said, there's corn that's tasseling. So the younger stuff, the beans look like they got a little bit of disease pressure that could become a lot of disease pressure if we turn off hot and dry. So I think this is where this week's trade and what we just got done seeing and the fact that we went down to the lowest level since October 2010 on a pathway where the corn market is probably pricing in what you see and what I saw on the Nebraska border with the idea that we are going to go well above 2 billion bushel carryover. But next week, if we come back with a hot, dry forecast with the Western Corn Belt, I think the trade's going to have to pay attention to that because there is a lot of vulnerability in this still very young crop.
It's all about not just looking in your backyard.
Right.
And just the difference between what I saw, and I ran maybe 115 miles one way. I went a little longer than just straight to Peoria. And I don't know, how far did you drive one way going north?
Oh, let's see, a couple hours times 70, so about 150 miles.
Yeah,
north-northwest.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. So between the two of us, we saw completely different kind of crops.
Yeah, and I think that's it's interesting because I was talking to clients about this today after sending out a weather report and getting an update from Ed Kieser and talking to him about the European model turning warmer and drier. And he said, you know, hold on the reins, but watch it because we are starting to see a little bit of a turn with this model on the back end. And I think that what I have put together between what you and I are talking about and clients are talking about is there is a lot of vulnerability out there, and I thought we would be through the worst of it by the end of June when we've talked in the past, but I'm starting to walk that back now because, well, part of the reason because the trade has taken the path of least resistance after the acreage report and just, you know, slammed the new crop corn price while the July corn price went higher again for this week.
Yeah, on the weekly trade, let's see, July was up, what, 5.5 cents? Not greatly, but it finished at 684.75. December corn for the new crop at $4.91 and a quarter, down 19.75. But that comes on top of a 56.25 cent drop for the month of June.
That's right. You know, last year we were talking about the Decatur, Illinois bid being the epicenter of the drought and the bid to be watching for how high corn could go. I think we're moving that epicenter northwest towards Davenport, towards Cedar Rapids. The big basis increases for old crop corn today came in Keokuk, came in Cedar Rapids, came in North Dakota, came in parts of South Dakota. Mitchell, South Dakota jumped 13 cents and is now over a dollar over the September. So I think this year we're going to have to broaden our horizons a little bit as far as how tight we get. And that would make sense given the vulnerability of the crop seems to be more in the western and especially the southwestern primary corn belt.
Mitchell, South Dakota, home of the Corn Palace. Have you been there?
I have not. No, oh. It's been a long time since I've been to Mitchell. I've never been to the Corn Palace.
Oh, you got to go. It's been forever since. You said Mitchell. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get off track, but I was like, Mitchell, South Dakota. Why does that sound familiar? The Corn Palace, where they build, or they have, what, a building that they cover with all kinds of corn. It's a beautiful sight.
Sounds nice. Sounds like you don't want to smoke a pipe around it, though.
It's a beautiful mosaic. So they shell all the corn, all kinds of different things, and then I don't remember how they attach it to the outside of the building. Look it up on the web.
Okay, I will.
It's really cool. And since you're closer, you'll have to go up and take a look at it. Okay, so this is kind of where we are with the corn. What about soybeans? Because on that side, things look much better, although the November for the month of June was down 52.25 and another 23.25 this week. But the difference for the beans is that they don't look all that great anywhere.
No, and I think they are the most vulnerable, both in the eastern belt and the western belt. Elevator clients in Ohio, producers in eastern Indiana have all reported that the heavy wet soils that have not been able to dry out are starting to see disease pressure. Beans are turning yellow from a lack of oxygen, and they're not that great looking after this week. And so even in the wetter, cooler areas, the beans have gone backwards. And I think this is where we have to be very careful about how hard we sell the beans and how we sell the beans in general. I think your basis is probably your best friend right now in new crop beans. July beans closed up 23.5 this week, while the November closed down, like you say, around 23.5, 23.75. So that July-November bean spread continues to be a friend and would suggest don't lock in basis here. And that this next 2 weeks, if we do turn off hot and dry in the western corn belt, while the USDA and the trade may be assuming the corn yield is going up, they may actually put more fireworks and more explosive price action on the idea that the bean yields are going down. Even if the acres are going up, it's still a lower net production in beans. So I, as a bear of beans overall and seeing the beans having most of the value in them as far as overvalue, I still have to be respectful not to get too heavily sold in the cash market because of what we're seeing right now.
All right, go through the last 3 weeks of the month of July for me and what it might look like for corn in particular. We'll get to that fourth and fifth week of July when we really ought to see whether the crop's there, and the bulk of the crop will be tasseling and shooting silks all at the same time.
I'll put it to you this way. I think the best opportunity for a final low in the summertime, and it would include the rest of the month of July, between what the trade is factoring in terms of 450 cash corn right now as of this Friday, would suggest to me you're at a 2.1 or 2.2 billion bushel ending stocks figure. So you've priced in a very bearish USDA report next week. Also, going back to the weather, I would suggest that if we do turn off hot and dry in the 240-hour model, you know, late next week, and there's no turning back to a colder impulse from Canada to push it back across the Rockies, I think you have a really good shot of having a good low in place next week. If that doesn't happen next week, I don't know when it would, because you would have a lot of other factors starting to work against you.
Do you have numbers and guesses for the WASDE report next week?
Yeah, I kept my yield below 160 in corn. I did take it up 1.5 bushels versus June to 157. My harvested acres are about 500,000 less than USDA's acreage report last week. For the beans, I'm still about a bushel below the USDA at 43.2, and a harvested acreage number that's about 200,000 less than USDA as well. So I'm running a 1.725 carryover and a 268 carryover for beans heading into this report.
Hey, thank you so much.
We appreciate it. Okay, Todd.
Mm-hmm. That's Mike Suslow. Hey, Mike, don't forget, we'll call you again at 4:30 this afternoon for Commodity Week. Mike, of course, is out in Atchison, Kansas. He is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana, at least for a couple of more weeks until they officially move out there. We'll talk with Mike at 4:30 this afternoon. You can find Commodity Week up on our website at about 6 o'clock, maybe a bit sooner than that. Our guest this week from the heart of the state of Iowa, Chad Hart, in fact, will be our panelist and guest. He is an extension ag economist at Iowa State University.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Well, while you're searching out the Corn Palace online and looking that up on Google, make sure you visit this website, too, at willag.org. That's willag.org. Speaking of that, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at Illinois Public Media is Dave Dickey, and he's along now with today's Agricultural News.
In agricultural news, South Korea today lifted a ban on U.S. wheat imports after the local food safety regulator found no unapproved genetically modified grain in recent U.S. shipments to the country. The Korea Flour Mills Industrial Association said in a statement it decided to resume purchasing U.S. wheat after a suspension imposed on May 31st, following the discovery of unapproved genetically modified white wheat strain at a farm in Oregon. Japan has also banned imports of the western white grade of wheat grown in Oregon. On concerns about the safety of the wheat since late May, as of today, Japan's ban remains in effect. China today promised sweeping changes to its state-run banking system, including allowing the creation of private lenders to support its credit-starved entrepreneurs and curb what regulators worry are growing financial risks. In a joint announcement, the central bank and banking regulators repeated earlier pledges to make interest rates and other aspects of banking more market-oriented, including to increase lending to small and medium-sized companies. Des Moines officials are considering suing state and federal officials if they don't limit nitrate levels from farm runoff. Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Bill Northey says that Iowa has just begun to implement its new nutrient reduction strategy meant to address some of the nitrate problems. The goal of the strategy is to reduce nitrates from both point sources and non-point sources, including farms. For non-point sources, the strategy calls for a 41% statewide reduction in nitrogen and a 29% reduction in phosphorus loads. To meet such goals, Iowa farmers will have to dramatically expand some conservation practices across the state. Private analytical firm Informa Economics has pegged the national average corn yield at 160 bushels to the acre, estimating that the U.S. will produce 14.26 billion bushels of corn in 2013. Informa's average corn yield estimate is 3.5 bushels per acre higher than USDA's latest estimate from the June supply and demand report. We get a update of the WASD report next week. Soybean production is projected at 3.38 billion bushels. Informa left the national average estimate yield unchanged at 43.9 and used USDA's 76.9 million acre acreage forecast. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm Yule by Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of this show. The Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, our weekend look at agriculture. We'll record at 4:30 that show this afternoon, Central Time, USA. Our guest this week, Chad Hart, Iowa State Extension Ag Economist. The panelist with us, Mike Zuzlow, Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities, and Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri-Marketing. Commodity Week up on the website by about 6 o'clock this evening at WILLAG.org.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Naturally, it is the fifth day of July 2013. Couldn't help myself. I Googled the Corn Palace just to see because I thought there were some really interesting facts. 275,000 ears of corn are used to decorate and make the murals on the outside and probably on the inside of the Corn Palace. It's open and free to visit anytime you want. They're in Mitchell, South Dakota. Most, naturally, of their visitors come between Memorial Day and Labor Day, but they are open all year long. Now on the phone line with us are the folks from the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Hopefully, Greg Johnson is with us. Greg, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good afternoon, Todd.
Have you been to the Corn Palace in Mitchell, South Dakota?
I cannot say that I have, no.
You should go visit or at least drive by quickly because it's really something else. Okay, so let's talk about the basis in the area here. Has it been following the corn market lower or has it stayed really kind of pretty good?
I think when the processors rolled their bids from the July futures to the September futures, they took that as an opportunity to try to fade bids by a nickel to a dime. Because the July was trading a dollar higher than the September, they could have improved their bids by a dollar to the September, but they improved them by 90 to 95 cents. And if they buy corn, I think they're expecting that last little jag of old crop corn. If the farmers feel good about new crop pollination potential, that maybe they'll let loose of that old crop corn and they'll be able to buy it a little bit cheaper. If not, then they're going to have to pay up for it because we have very little old crop corn left, and we've got to make that last for the next couple of months. So in the short run, basis levels have weakened a little bit in old crop corn, and that could go higher or lower depending on when the farmers decide to let loose of that last little bit of old crop corn.
When you talk to producers, are they feeling pretty good about the corn crop that's in the ground at this time?
Yeah, it looks really good in eastern Illinois. Central Illinois looks above average. We look, I think, well above average. I mean, potential-wise, we obviously haven't even pollinated yet, but the potential's there. And then as you get into western Illinois, I think it's a lot more scattered, hit and miss, a lot of corn that's probably only 6 inches to a foot tall in places, and then there's other corn that's pretty good size. So it's going to be very extremely variable in the western corn belt. That usually doesn't mean great yields, but I think we could have above average yields in the central and eastern part of the state if the weather continues to cooperate.
And what are your bids for the day?
Old crop corn is 661, new crop corn is 478, old beans are 1552, new beans are 1211, and wheat is 640.
Thanks so much, Greg.
Thanks, Todd.
Greg Johnson is at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Back in 2 minutes.
It's National Apple Turnover Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1753, Jonathan Carver Hornblower was born. A British mining engineer, he invented the first compound steam engine. In 1797, Sylvester Graham was born in West Suffield, Connecticut. He advocated vegetarianism, temperance, and the use of coarse ground whole wheat flour. And, oh yes, he also invented the graham cracker in 1829. In 1826, Joseph Louis Prost died. Prost was a French chemist. In 1799, he was the first to extract sugar from grapes, and he proved it identical to sugar extracted from honey. In 1867, Andrew Stuglis died, an American archaeologist. He discovered tree ring dating. Stuglis's research showed that the width of tree rings is a record of rainfall, with implications on the local food supply in dry years. In 1937, Chester Greenwood died. Farmers everywhere appreciate his invention of earmuffs, which he designed and patented as a teenager. The first model was beaver fur made on a wire frame. In 1966, large hailstones fell on Detroit Lakes, Minnesota. One hailstone measured 1 foot in diameter. And in 1996, Dolly, a sheep, was born in Scotland. Dolly was the first animal cloned from an adult animal. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Well, this is the closing market report for a Friday afternoon. On the phone line with us, Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute, to take up the weather forecast. Jim, how are you on this holiday weekend?
I'm doing well, thanks.
I like to call it a holiday weekend, though many of us work on Fridays. The 4th of July.
It's almost like the Friday after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, a little bit. It empties out pretty good in most areas, certainly here on campus. But it's kind of a nice day. Looks like it's going to rain a bit here, maybe off and on over the next several days, though. Is that right?
That's right. We have a 20% chance tonight and a 30% chance tomorrow. And then we've got a couple of warm, sunny days with highs in about the mid-80s and lows in the upper 60s to around 70. And then the rain, chance of rain is pretty much Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday after that. And like the warm, muggy weather, kind of typical July conditions there with a chance of rain of almost every day. So it finally feels like summer out there.
It feels like summer, but certainly July came in really kind of cold. I think I saw on my Twitter feed from Skilling in Chicago that the first couple of days of July were 19 degrees below the first few days of July last year. On average.
Yeah, that's very possible because we were already in the upper 90s to low 100s a year ago today or this week. And you know, this year we've been about 5 degrees below average, so very mild conditions compared to last year, and also a little wetter than last year too. We've had some rain in the last week or so, especially southern Illinois has been fairly wet. And if you look at June in its entirety, there we've had 5.2 inches of rain across the state. That's kind of statewide average, and a year ago it was 1.8 inches, so more than double last year's rainfall for June. And you know, a lot of that fell in the northern part of the state, and then there's another area south of Interstate 70. They also got quite a bit of rain out of this. So they probably could use a little more sunshine and a little less rain right now.
Well, once we get past Tuesday next week, will that happen or not?
Well, you know, if you look at the longer range outlooks for the Climate Prediction Center, they are indicating that for out to the 14 days, we're looking at cooler conditions, which temperature-wise, not only for Illinois, but kind of the Midwest as a whole. Precipitation-wise, for the most part, they expect to be on the 6 to 10 day. It's most of the state is above average on the risk for increased precipitation. And for the 8 to 10 day, it's kind of the southern half of the state. So the southern half of the state is on target to continue that wet trend of the last week or two.
All right. Thanks much.
You're welcome.
Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute, joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Friday afternoon. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow or on our website, one of the two, for our Commodity Week program. Our guest is Chad Hart. He's at Iowa State Extension. I'm Todd Gleason.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.